You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? If not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 23:22-25. Hearken to thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, it's good to be in the pulpit again, and I enjoyed our message last Sunday. It's nice to contemplate some of these passages, especially in the Gospel according to John. There's just so much in there about the Lord and his special place as the Word. The first verses of John are always verses that are just absolutely remarkable about the person of Christ and the way the Trinity is worked into those passages, I think, are also tremendously remarkable. Also, it's interesting because in the passage that we're going to look at today, we're going to see the Redeemer coming in here. And there's only one place in the book of Proverbs where the word for kinsman redeemer is mentioned. And it's going to be right in this passage where we're going to look at today. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together, Lord, for all the mercies that thou hast shown us. We pray, Lord, for all of our relatives and friends. And we ask your Spirit will work in their lives. And Lord, if they are lost, Lord, that you would bring them, draw them, Lord, to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, great. Now, last time we were discussing a lot of really cool issues in the Proverbs about the good name and a lot of great things in here about how that the scriptures have been preserved and how the Lord has really brought to my mind many important ideas about the King James Bible and how, for example, even the very pronouns themselves give great insight. And I gave you this good example here about who is being referenced. And of course, it's talking about not simply Jerusalem being represented by certain elders and certain spokesmen, but rather by the children. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye, plural, would not. See, they wouldn't have it. And great teaching comes to us by simple things, just like pronouns. So we looked about, well, let me just go back here because I think that's an important point to remember. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. Yep. Doesn't matter whether you're a king with all your riches, queen, whatever you are. No, sorry. You are of the same stuff, my friends, the same stuff. And you will die because you're mortal just like me. And in that sense, we all are the same and we all have the same need. And I ain't gonna bow down before you. Right? I'm not gonna do it. And a lot of these things come up, you know, in the founding of this nation. Great teaching concerning deriving their just powers from consent of the governed. Oh man, isn't that a fantastic thing? Right there in the Declaration of Independence. Well, today we're moving into Proverbs chapter 23. And in this section, you have some great things about personal character, the call to hear, and personal conduct. Personal. Notice? Personal. Gets very, very personal here. And that's great for the Bible to be like that. Gets down to where we each one personally live. And, you know, we can go through our lives, and many people do this, trying to avoid the reality of who we really are inside, how fallen we are, and the way that we have deficiencies. And some people will hide this away from other people and inwardly feel the failing, but they will never front up to the remedy. And in here, there is the remedy. So I've just really written this out because I wanted to emphasize it. Personal character, call to here, personal conduct, all in here. And, you know, when you go back to, because we're on the founding, and we look at the founding fathers, and if you examine anyone's personal life, you'll find failings. You're going to find failings in these gentlemen here. They have failings. But if you compare these people with the current crop, I mean, no, you're not going to do it, right? You're not going to do it because obviously these guys hit a standard which is way past what we see today in our leaders. And I think John Adams here says something that I think is profound. We all have heard this. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And you see the reality of the nation as it goes away from the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is, and the Constitution will become less and less relevant, and they will see it so, and they will want to destroy it, and they will get the two-thirds states behind them, and eventually perhaps they will manage to overcome it. And but you know, the point is about this, if you look at some great example of wisdom, what do you find? Solomon. Yeah, have a look at Solomon. Uh-oh. And what about David? Uh-oh. You know? So any person that you want to look at, except for the one great exception of Jesus Christ, you're going to find massive failings. And so this is a very interesting passage of scripture, because look in chapter 23 and verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler. Wow. I remember myself as a younger man, and even now I do this. If I think too much about my situation, the thing that I don't want to happen, I will actually bring it out. For example, if you were to sit down in front of someone, you would not want to show bad manners, right? You would not want to do that. But I can almost guarantee you that I'm going to get something stuck in this throat. Almost certainly it's going to happen, you know? And it's just the way of things. But look what it says. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat. Man, some of these rulers have some fantastic spread, don't they? Ooh. We saw that when we visited in Austria, the king's state. And how many? 22? 22 courses? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what are you going to do on each course? Nibble, nibble. And of course, once the king puts his knife down, that's signal that everyone has got to stop, and then the servants come in and remove that, and then the next layer comes down. Now, apparently, the king in this case, he was very careful with this. He made sure that everyone got their fair share. He was careful to make sure that everything happened in order for everyone else in this particular king's case. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. I used to have a massive appetite, friends. I remember as a young man, man. And my mother, she knew this. And when we kids would come home, she had prepared the meal before the meal. Because, man, when we came home, we were looking for, we were ready to dive into the cupboard wherever the food was. And she had it all prepared for us. Not so much now. I don't quite have that same appetite. But If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Deceitful meat, yeah, deceitful food. Because what happens is you end up being deceived into thinking this is the life for you, and this is all there is to life, all that would satisfy the appetite. And I think there's more here than simply the palate and satisfying the palate. It's got to do with the picture of being deceived by things of this world. Labor not to be rich. That's an interesting passage here, verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Now, here's the thing I like to say about this. If you look at many of the Proverbs, not all, but many of the Proverbs, they come in couplets. For example, verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Bang, bang, together. And then it says, and put a knife to thy throat, is the first one. If thou be a man given to appetite. Right? Coming in couplets like that. You get a statement and then another statement that comes with it, conditional and reproof many times. So when you get here in verse 4, labor not to be rich. I think it's pretty clear there's one half of a couplet here. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. You see, now that's the couplet. In other words, when you go to be rich, many times what you're doing is you're resting on your own wisdom. It's not the fact that you're rich or you gain money and wealth and so on. For you could very well do so. In fact, many of the Proverbs talk about, you know, how a fool will not look after his wealth. A fool and his money will soon be parted. Obviously, Paul says that we are responsible for our own. You know, if you do not look after your own, you're worse than an infidel. You denied the faith. Well, providing for your own includes making wealth. But here's the thing. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Right? Because in many cases, what's going on here, the impetus to be rich is this desire that you see that the wealthy have, and you're taking on this wisdom of the world, and that's your impetus to be rich, right? Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. That's it, man. In the end, it is true. Paul is big on this, isn't he? You can't take it with you, man. And it is certain that you cannot take these things with you. They fly, man. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. It's a beautiful picture of an eagle. Last spring, or might have been the spring before, I remember this lonely eagle. And it was an eagle, because it came so close to me, I saw it. And it was flying way off from the north, coming south, across our house. All by itself. Massive bird. Big, you know, beak on it. And I thought, what a graceful, powerful bird. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an... Look, here comes the evil eye. And if you look up this idea of the evil eye, and you find what the Lord talked about it, from within... Out of the heart of men, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. They come from within. So here the evil eye is an outward expression, a metaphor of the eye which looks to pervert, and it's a part of the inner man that wants something that it should not have. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. It's an interesting expression here. Dainties, dainty meals. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You see? Deceitful man. Out to get you. People will find many cases... Here's a strange thing about fallen man. They want to control. They love to control. And secretly, when they see the control they have over you, got 'em. Got 'em. They love to see control over you. And if they find a weakness in you, they will provide that satisfaction to your weakness in order to gain control over you. But his heart is not with thee. Eat and drink. Yeah. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up. Yeah, unfortunately, friends, later on you get to learn these things the hard way. It's good to learn the easy way, isn't it? It's good to be able to observe the mistakes of others and learn from them, not to repeat them. But sometimes, unfortunately, our fallen nature is such that we're going to have to learn by, and in the process, vomiting the stuff up. It says, and loose thy sweet words. And lose thy sweet words. Yeah, that's what happens, isn't it? You want to use good words. You want to use constructive words. And then in the process of being deceived, you lose them. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. There are fools, my friends. The Bible says so. There are fools. We've got a bunch of them down there in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately. It says, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark. Now, this is really a fascinating idea. The landmark. Here's a landmark here in the field. There are people who are absolutely bereft of wealth and good fortune for whatever circumstances. But what they have is they have something that their good parents have left them. It might be an inheritance of land, maybe a house, or maybe something, right? And it was left them, and that's what they've got, and that's all that they've got. And it says here in verse 10, remove not the old landmark, the one that's gone down from the ages, has been passed on. And enter not into the fields of the fatherless. See? And, you know, this is being addressed essentially to Solomon and princes. These people who meet with other rulers and sit down with other rulers and so on and have to make decisions about law and order and justice and things like this. And here, notice what it says. Enter not into the fields of the fathers, for their Redeemer is mighty. This is the word Gaal. Gaal. And it means the kinsman Redeemer. It is the only place in all of Proverbs that you'll find it. And it's right here. And here it is in the context of remove not the old landmark. Here is something that's showing you that through time, this has been bequeathed to people, and specifically the fatherless, that have no other means of provision. And you as a ruler, you better respect this. And if you don't respect it, their Redeemer is mighty. Now, there will be a Redeemer according to law that, of course, the king would have to respect. But there is something going on here that I think goes a lot deeper than just this world. Because there is the kinsman Redeemer. And down here, you know, here's how the word Goal is used throughout the scriptures. But I've highlighted here Ruth. And if you know the story of Ruth, the Moabitess, you see here the wonderful truth of the kinsman Redeemer. Because Boaz, while he was a kinsman Redeemer, he was not the closest. There was a closer kinsman Redeemer than he. But that kinsman Redeemer, that one who was closest, said, when given the opportunity of redeeming the parcel of land, and then when reminded by Boaz, oh yeah, but you've got to marry the Moabitess, he said, I cannot redeem it. I cannot redeem it, lest I mar my own name. He would not do it. You see, if you look at the nature of the Gaal, the kinsman redeemer, he is the Lord. There's no doubt about it. The Lord Jehovah is kinsman redeemer. But what does that mean, kinsman redeemer? That means kin to. If the Lord is to be our, in a more broader sense, kinsman redeemer, I've got to ask the question. When did the Lord become kin? And furthermore, is that kin to man? Is he only man? Well, the metaphor shown in Ruth is the closest kinsman would not and could not redeem. What would be the closest kinsman to us? Well, he would be just a man, and only a man. The kinsman like unto Boaz would be something between, right? Here is the, I'm not being disrespectful by my sketch here, this is the man, right? Here is the closest one. But the one like unto Boaz, well, he would have to fit somewhere in between here. He would have to be God in the flesh. Right? He would have to be God in the flesh. What a tremendous thing. And so, right here, what we have is this verse 11, for their Redeemer is a mighty. Yes, sirree. He is. And he came, and he died, and rose again the third day, and we too can enjoy those privileges of rising again. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. One of the things this generation has been talked out of is the words of knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished, that he is Jehovah. He is the kinsman redeemer. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. You know, one of the things that we do miss out on, I think, today in many families is the idea that there must be correction, there must be consequences. Now, in the hands of people who do not know our God, what does this turn into? Well, this will turn into child abuse, right? People who do not know God, what will they do? They will justify the beating of their child and take it to the point where they virtually kill a child, because they in themselves have failed, and they take out their failure on their own family. And without the Spirit of God showing them the truth of the balance of right and wrong and discipline and love, they'll be out of balance and do things that are crazy. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. There has to be this consequence, doesn't there? That people understand, children must understand right from wrong. They must see the consequences. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. It's a great thing. So, notice here, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? You see the things going around you, and you can say, oh, look at those nice things. I want those things. Why is it these people are getting all that? Just remind yourself, friends, there is an end. It does come to an end, my friends. This life will come to an end. Their riches will come to an end. Their whatever is going to come to an end. And thine expectation as a believer in God Almighty, in the person of Jesus Christ and his work, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. It's coming in, man. And we're going to trust on him to the end. Like Job, whatever happens to him, in the end, he's going to trust God. Don't have to understand every detail of what's going on in this life. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes it's pretty hard to work out, isn't it? Some things that happen in this life, it's pretty hard to work it out. But in the end, we're going to be like Job. We're going to trust on him. Why? Because he's shown himself trustworthy. And verse 22, it says this, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Man, it really tugs on my heart right there. You remember your parents when they were young? You remember that? I sure do. I can remember my parents. I can see them right now. Young, man. Yeah, they're just kids. Now, I can look upon, not right then, I thought they're old, old people. Now that I'm getting older, I look back, they're just kids. They were kids. And I can remember lying down on a hillside, looking up into the blue sky and watching these fairy things that come out of thistles blowing by. Cool air, summer, beautiful. And just thinking about my parents. I just can't accept that they're going to die. No? Buy the truth and sell it not. We're out for truth, man. We're going to gather to ourselves all the truth we can get, man. Because the more truth we can get, the more help we can be. And the more service we can be to our dad and mum. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Yeah, we want it all. And we're going to get a lot of it as long as we are faithful to the Word of God rightly divided. As long as we are faithful in our wisdom and putting together those pieces necessary to walk a righteous life. The Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Yeah, isn't that right? Isn't it a nice thing to be able to look back on your family and see what's happened and say, oh man, look, they really turned out good. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Now unfortunately it works the other way too. We're going to have to face up to that. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. It's a great thing to see a family, an extended family, happy together, understanding all that has done. We've got failings. Every family has failings because the dad fails, the mother fails, the children fail, because we're human, right? But we can see past those things. We can see past them. And we can see the great effort they put in to our lives and what we put into their lives. And if we can work on that and see the end so we can rejoice. My son, give thine heart. Give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. For, now here it comes. Now this is something that I think is hard language. It's where we live. It's how it is. And there's also metaphorical emphasis that's going on here. If you look at this, starting from verse 27, it starts off with the whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Deep ditch is something you fall into and it's hard to get out of, right? And then a strange woman is a narrow pit. Narrow pits are particularly hard to get out. When you get to the bottom, how do you get to the top? And then it says, she also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increase the transgressors among men. Increases. Now, look at this. If you look at this passage, I just noticed this, the symmetry of the passage. Starts off here with the whore, and then when you come down to near the end of this portion, in verse 33, it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. This is the apostate woman. Okay, the strange woman is the apostate in this case. So it starts off with the whore, and in the middle is this passage of wine, right? Look at it. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? See, these questions are being asked, but they're somewhat rhetorical in the context. Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Wounds, babblings. Sorrow, woe, contentions. They that tarry, here comes the answer, They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, yayin is the wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it goeth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. You see how it goes? First of all, there is the enticement. Then there is the means of getting rid of the inhibition. And the result is apostasy. You see that? I've read this before. I've read this many times. But this becomes quite plain. That there is the enticement. Now, the Bible's talking about, in this case, the prostitute. Okay, there is the enticement. But the means of satisfying the enticement for a person who is in the Scriptures is to somehow remove your mind from the Spirit. Right? The Spirit, the Bible says, communicates the things of God to our brain. And if we can sever that connection between the Spirit and the brain, then guess what? We can get rid of the inhibitions and we can do what we are enticed to do. Right? And wine, well, what's the percentage of alcohol in wine? It's pretty high in some cases. Right? And that alcohol will take away that connection, and therefore we can take on all sorts of stuff, man. But the end result is apostasy. Apostasy. I've never seen that in such clarity before, but there it is. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Ouch. And down to verse 34 it says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. There is a time when we can be brought awake again. We may lie down and consider our fallenness and the things that we have done, but God is ready to wake us up out of this. And as I've said before in the last Sunday, we were talking about this, that many people will not listen, but we shouldn't give up on them. If we're truthful, we're going to have to say in many cases we have been tempted. Right? We have been tempted. In some cases have fallen. And we need to be mindful of who we are and the fact that we've got people around us that we can reach. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the message that's in Proverbs and all that Thou hast taught us. We pray for our relatives and friends, that You'd be with them, Lord, and strengthen them and bring them to the Savior. We pray for the country, Lord. We see, Lord, that really there's no way for a change in any country unless people themselves accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are changed. And from that change will come bigger changes around the world. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.